You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Speak over the music because we've got in the house there. We've got I've been trying to get on just to have a chat because I worked with him for many years on a thing called the Footy Show. And then he left us and went to the opposition. And he's a very good man. And he holds the I'm not sure if he holds the games record out at the Western Bulldogs or Footscray that I knew it as when I played. He'll tell us that. I'm sure he probably still does. I'm not sure if he does hold the record, but he did. He beat the late Ted Whitten's record. And he's a very good man, and I'd like to welcome him to You Cannot Be Serious, the great Doug Hawkins. Doug, how are you?
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
And just before we... then we've got Dick from Muff.
Yes.
Richard Wollstonecroft, who runs Muff, which is the... Melbourne Underground Film Festival.
Sir.
That's an acronym, Doug, M-U-F-F, so we call him Muff. It's not the Muff you're probably familiar with or the one that I've been familiar with many years ago now. It's just a distant memory. Muff, when we started, there was a whole bush down there, Doug, 40 years ago. Then it became a landing strip.
Yep.
Then it became nude. And now if you lift a Sheila's dress up, there's probably a dick there. So anyhow, he is Dick from Muff, is what we call him. Richard.
Good morning,
from...
Dick, are we still on air, Sam, here?
We are.
We're on. And then we've got Ivan with us here. Ivan is...
I can't be on air.
Ivan, you're sitting... And we've got Sue Stanley, OAM. She is here.
Order of...
What?
It's an order of Australian merit.
Or medal?
Oh, medal. Is it?
Might be merit.
Order of merit?
So is it?
What is it exactly?
Yeah, you got it right. Order of Australia medal.
Medal. Medal. I like merit better, Doug. That's good. Well done. Ivan hasn't got a microphone, but he's over there, and he's called Ivan because Don Scott, who used to sit where you are, thinks he looks like Ivan Milat. And that's why he's called Ivan. I call him Ivan. Anyhow... Now, Dick from Muff just was telling us that he went to the Hammer Hall to see some Sheila from America.
Fran Lebowitz, yes.
Fran Lebowitz, some old boiler from America.
Correct.
He said he went to Hammer Hall, and I said, now, Dick, it's Hamer Hall. It's named after Rupert Dick Hamer, not Hammer. Hammer has a double M in it. Dick's name has an M in it.
Yes, Hamer. I've been schooled.
Yeah, well, Jesus, don't say. And the woman there, the old Sheila who was speaking, was given Mr. Trump a building, was he?
Yep. She's a Jewish intellectual from New York, Fran Lebowitz. She's a friend of Martin Scorsese. She's actually quite a wit. You know, she's quite funny, and regardless of her politics or whatever.
Yeah,
and
she's obviously a fuckwit. You should have got up and told her she was speaking shit.
I should have, actually.
Yeah,
I should have.
Should have.
I would have. They would have, burnt me at the stake.
The point of me telling you that is that you... Well, before we get on to... Well, we will. No, we won't. We'll.
How old was she, Dick? Francisca.
Fran Lebowitz is old. She's probably mid-70s.
Francisca?
Who's Francisca?
I'm sure Francisca.
Go on.
Well, I know it's Hamer Hall after Dick Hamer, not MC Hammer. I thought it was named after MC Hammer.
He's a very good... was he a Labor Liberal man, Sam? Dickie. A Hamer.
Dick was a Liberal Premier.
A very lovely man.
Yeah, it was a very lovely man. No, he was. But politics aside, doesn't matter.
Good Liberal man.
Very lovely people Francisca, who are... can't name them, but the very lovely Labor Premiers have been good. Steve Brax was all right, wasn't he?
Yeah,
nice
he
wasn't so bad,
man.
Was he?
He's a cat man.
Was he a nice man? What?
He was a Geelong supporter, Stevie Brax, from Williamstown, I reckon.
Yeah.
Good bloke, Steve Brax.
Yeah, I just said that.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's important. Right. That's all. You're confirming it. I was going to get on to why at some other you met a bloke called Wayne Ludley Ludby.
Ludby, I think. Yes. I mean, I was there, and obviously before the show, it was about 20 minutes before the show, and there's just a chap next to me, and you know, I'm a friendly kind of fella, so I just thought I'd, you know, and there's obviously people from the arts in this place. I thought, mate, you know, and I said, oh, how are you? And he goes, oh, I'm a photographer for The Age.
And I'm was like, is he still?
I think he's retired now. Yeah. And you know, and so we had a little chat, and you know, I mentioned I used to run, you know, the Hellfire Club and the Melbourne Underground Film Festival, and then I said, oh, of late I've actually, you know, been doing a few shows with Sam Newman, and he said, I said, you should say hello to Sam from me. So hello from Sam Ludby to you, Sam. Yeah. But he did mention that you two had had a fracas.
Only because he's a liar.
Yeah, that would be the case.
No, he's a liar, and we sued him for being a liar, and we got vindicated, and we sued him, she and Scott and I. Well, Scott and I sued him for defamation, and we were vindicated. He said that we did things that we didn't do, and he... So I'll read out his apology.
What did he say?
Well, he said... you've got the bloody thing there. He said this. He said... when I was speaking about the podcast, I made comments about Sam Newman and Don Scott that were unfair and unwarranted. I unreservedly apologised for them and for my comments. And so I looked up the meaning of the word unfair and unwarranted. And this is what it means. This is the definition of it. This is why I say he's a liar. Many people would like to know the dictionary meaning of the words unwarranted and unfair. Unwarranted, lacking in justification, not vindicated, not supported, unfair, biased, not equitable, deceptive, and dishonest. That makes him a liar. So we called him a liar. I'm calling him a liar now and still calling him a liar because he said things about us that were untrue and he had to pay for that.
So and the courts...
That was that. And that came as a result of... Now, I wasn't going to get onto this now, Doug, but I'll do it quickly.
Did you get financial gain out of it, Sam?
We got compensated, yes.
We can't say the figure?
No. Yeah, no, we can. I'll tell you what we can what say. No, we won't say the figure, all but... Right.
What did you get close to?
Well, I'm glad you've started this. Right. So Dwayne Russell wrote in the paper just recently about the Nicky Winmar affair lifting his jumper up out at Victoria Park 35 years ago. This is what we got sued for. We got fined $100,000 for vilification for saying that we weren't sure. Scott and Sheehan, I wasn't at the game, but those boys said they weren't sure that it was about pointing to his skin colour, it was pointing to his guts, his fat guts. And that's what the general perception was. And we said, Sheehan said the only person who'd know what he meant was Nicky Winmar, and we agreed with that, but we still got fined $100,000 for saying that it wasn't about his skin colour. We never said that at all. But Dwayne Russell, let me tell you what Dwayne Russell said. I wonder if... And the person that rounded us up and threw us under the bus was that slobbering suck-up, that arrogant and pompous person who used to run the AFL, McLaughlin. And he said that he threw us under the bus just to appease his own white privilege. He said... Dwayne Russell said... Plenty of conjecture, he just wrote this recently, plenty of conjecture about what Winmar was doing rather than the accepted, more romantic conclusion claiming that I'm black and proud of it. And Russell goes on to say, I'm not saying this, Russell goes on to say, Russell says Winmar told him afterwards that it was about having the guts to get out on the ground.
Yeah.
That's what it was about. So... That's what Don Scott and Mike Sheehan said. They said, we thought it was about his guts, having guts. And and Ludley, the photographer, said he took a picture and heard Winmar say, I'm black and proud of it. I'm not saying he didn't say that, but I'm saying that Ludley is a liar because he said that we sit on this podcast and try and find ways to ping Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders and make money out of it. That's what he said about us. That is patently false and was proven to be false because we we sued him for it, which is why I say he's a liar.
By a court of law.
So I'm wondering why. I'm wondering why, if McLaughlin will make a return to the courts and bring his dopey little lawyer friend with him and say, Dwayne has said that this was apocryphal about what Widmer was saying. That's all we ever said. And Scott and I were thrown under the bus, and so was Sheehan. Sheehan used to sit here and do this podcast.
Sam, did you ever have the opportunity to speak to Nikki?
I've spoken to Nikki.
Regarding this matter, situation?
No, I haven't, because he won't speak to me because... I've got on very well with Nikki Widmer, but I've got a feeling if he was sitting there, he wouldn't... if he was sitting where you are and I had this conversation with him, well, I honestly don't think he'd want to have the conversation with me. Mm. Anyhow, to cut a long story short... The majority, the overwhelming majority of people who are at that game said that what Sheehan and Scott said was generally, what Dwayne Russell is saying was generally accepted as right.
Got the guts and the courage.
That's right. And then, of course, they jumped in and made a statue of Nikki Widmer and put it up over at Optus Oval in Perth. And AFL didn't want to have an egg on their face by thinking, oh, I don't want this narrative to be the wrong one. And we were thrown under the bus. I had nothing to do with... we are a team. I had nothing to do with the conversation because I wasn't at the game. I was only asking the questions. And at no stage did Scott or Sheehan say they didn't believe him. They just said that was... we were having a discussion like we're having now. Mm. And that was a disgrace.
So with Nikki, there's a bit of history there, isn't there? There's a bit of history.
Yes, that's right. I painted my face black, pretending one day to come on. Met him and shaken his hand since then. Mm. Get on well with him, and then this came up. So anyhow,
there it is.
Yeah, so there it is. Now, Doug.
Yes, Sam.
You.
What are you going to ask me?
Yes, I like that. Yes, well, I asked you. So Doug is famous for saying arcs. I asked him what he was doing. And then he wrote a book called Namua. What was that book called?
Don't ask me.
What was that? What was the book called?
Mamua.
Yeah, it was called Mamua. No, Namua.
Namua.
As opposed to manure.
You knew I couldn't say it.
Yeah, so I know. I said
in the green room, I'm sitting there. I'm having a couple of quiet beers just to... calm the
nerves.
Before
the footy show.
And Samson, now Dougie, you're at Fitzroy now, Nauru, the island down there. They sponsor the Fitzroy Footy Club. What do they make on the island?
Nauru.
Out of the blue. I just said they make a lot of mamua.
Mamua.
Mamua. And Sam said, can you say that again? And I went, oh, shit. I'm in trouble here. Because as soon as Eddie gets up and says, what a big week in footy it's been, Sam will go, now, Ed. Just stop for a minute, Ed. I just need to talk to Dougie here. He said, can you say it? And I looked down the barrel and Harvey Spielberg, Harvey Silver was standing there.
Might be a friend of that Sheila that was at Hamer Hall.
I think so.
Yep. Yeah, go on.
And all I wanted to do, and I rehearsed it for the next 40 minutes, and you know what? I nailed it. I knew I nailed it.
Yeah.
But when the red light went on, I got hot. I got real hot. I could feel myself getting hot.
The lights.
And all I wanted to say was...
Manure.
All I wanted to say was shit. Yeah. And Harvey said, you can't say this. You got to say Mamua. And then I said, Mamua. And then Sam went, say it again. Then I went, Mamui, Mamua, Mamua.
And then you wrote
a
book.
I just slaughtered it. And then I wrote a book.
Called
Mamua. Can I be honest, Sam? I was actually... pissed off with you. You come over in the break.
I made
a mug of myself on national TV. There's millions watching.
Well, it wasn't my fault.
No, that wasn't your fault. You lead me into it.
What do they do it? What does Nauru, what are they famous for? You said providing Namua. You could have said fertiliser. You could have said fertiliser.
So anyway.
At least you didn't say shit.
Bird droppings.
I was really pissed. I was really dead. And in the break, Sam came over and he said... You came over to me.
Yeah, I came over. I didn't come over.
I said, Sam, that was... He said, Dougie, that was magnificent. That was gold.
Gold.
He called it that. That was gold.
Was.
I said, what do you mean? He goes, we don't take ourselves serious here.
No, we don't.
Who cares? We'll have a laugh and a bit of a fun. And then from that moment, and that was early in the footy show times, I couldn't give one level
to level. You went higher and higher. You were in the penthouse at the end. So much so, Doug. So much so that you left the show to start a rival. No, this is good.
Yeah, but
people love this.
All right.
You left the footy show to start a rival show on Seven called Live and Kicking, or was it called Live and Kicking?
Live and Kicking.
And I said to you, because I'm a very good friend of yours, we've played football against each other most of our lives.
You're my ruck coach at Footscray as well.
Thank you, Doug. I wasn't your ruck coach. You didn't play
the ruck. No, I was a winger.
And I said, now, Doug, you're going down there. Why are you leaving? And we're sad to see you go. And he said, because I want to be taken more seriously. I've got a foot. And I'm not winding you up at all. I've got a football brand. I'd like to impart my knowledge about football and like to speak seriously about football. So I turned on the first day the show was on. I got home and I turned on Live and Kicking, and the first thing I saw was you standing on your head drinking a pint of beer upside down. And I thought, so much for taking yourself seriously. Is that true? That's true, isn't
it? That is correct.
Yeah, so the bloke, Harvey Spielberg, said to you, Doug, this would be a good idea. Stand on your head if you can, balance on your head, and I'll give you a yard of beer and see if you can skull it. And you must have thought to yourself, this is probably not a good idea to do this if I'm trying to get some credibility about speaking about football. And you said, no, fuck it, I'll do it. And
have you ever done that, Sam? Stood on your head and skulled a pot? A pint of beer? Ever done that?
Aren't you supposed to do that when you got the hiccups?
What's that, Sue?
Aren't you supposed to do that when you got the hiccups?
The
hiccups.
Hiccups. Well, I did it pretty easily. I actually necked it.
Did you have the hiccups?
No. I actually necked it and I felt I was actually going to have another crack. I was going to have two. But
had a crack as well.
But Harvey said only do one.
You're not allowed to drink on it. I drank a bottle of Jim Beam.
Bourbon on
scotch. I was that fucking legless at the end, but I couldn't sit on the chair. And Ed said, don't drink anymore. I said, oh, I'm all right.
But no, Sam, you're right. No, you know what it's like, Sue. You know what it's like, guys. You know, sometimes Rebel in life, we make a decision. And at the time, you think it's the right one. But in reflecting over the period now, over the journey, it was a dumb decision, Sam. But why would I leave a highest rating show? I had a good little role there as a court jester, of a bit of fun.
I'll tell you why.
People laughed with me and laughed at me, and it didn't worry me too much to a stage.
I'll tell you why you left, though. Exactly, yeah. Doug is doing that well-known sign where you rub two fingers together, meaning you've got the moolah. That's why you left.
And you may not know this, Sam.
I might not know this, Doug.
The CEO of Channel 9 was a bloke called Ian Johnson, yes, who was involved with Melbourne.
Very good man.
Lovely bloke. Is he still with us?
No, he's not.
God bless him. God bless.
Did he? Ago.
God bless Ian. Mm-hmm. He matched the offer. And my manager was the great Ricky Nixon.
Yep. Ricky drops by here every now and again.
Does he? Lovely boy, Ricky. Ricky was my manager. Yeah. And with Piggy Dunstall, our mate, Sam.
Yeah. He left too.
He left too. Yeah. And the man who took over, took you, was imitating... was being you.
Yeah.
Andrew Starton.
Andrew Starton.
He came across as well.
Came across, yep.
So anyway, you're right, Sam, but why would you leave the highest rating show?
For money, Doug. That's fair enough.
No, Channel 9 matched it. Ian Johnson said, I'll match it. And you know how much it was?
No.
Am I allowed to say it? Of course
you are.
It's 150 grand it was. And I was getting nothing much.
Yeah, that's right.
And I thought, that was more than I made half my footy career at the Bulldogs.
That's 30 years.
That's 97.
Oh, no, it's not. Well, there you are.
That's good money in 97, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
That's big money. Seven needed to do something to try and pull a footy show up, but taking me and Piggy wasn't the answer. It was either taking the footy show, which was Sam. Trevor Marmalade Beyond the Bar was a huge part of the footy show in that period.
You made a commercial decision. It was good. Whether it worked or not, to not take a risk is to take the biggest risk in life, and you did it. We were very disappointed to see you go because you are a genuine... there'd be not one person on this planet, in football terms, as opposed to me, there'd be not one person like you and Bill Brownless that wouldn't like you, as opposed to me. There'd be hardly anyone that would like me. So that was the contradiction in terms about the makeup of the footy show. You had a good guy and a bad guy, or guys.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yes, Doug. Well, anyhow, that was it. So that lasted. How long did the show last? A minute?
Well, the next show, Sam, I lit a cigarette off the hairs of my chest.
It was episode two.
So I backed up from sculling a pot on my head.
Yeah.
And then after I did that, I said to Harvey, I said, this is not a good idea, Harvey. No. I come over here to be seen to be serious, and here I am lighting a cigarette. Mm. You remember that, Sam? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Well, off the hairs of my chest.
I remember saying so ready at the time. This is Doug it. Being serious about football. He's actually this is Doug who left us to be serious about football. He's sculled a pint of beer upside down and he's lit a cigarette off the hairs on his chest. Besides the third degree burns you got when you got home to your missus, she said, what have you been doing? He said, well, I was just a little bit of theatre on the Live and Kicking. I lit a cigar off the hairs on my chest. She said, you fucking what? What is wrong with you? So anyhow, that was good.
She will never be served. Let me tell you,
Honey Bunch.
Yeah.
Did you reassess your career and think, well, I don't think I'm going to be really a serious person about things and just be the funny man?
So yeah, I those two things after I did them and got thought about it, that they're not funny. That's not funny. It was just, it was dumb. It was stupid. And what I learned, and what I did, what I sort of started to learn was, don't be scared to say no. Like sometimes it's always we'd say yeah, okay. Well,
I never said no.
Did things sometimes.
I never said no. Well, they said why don't you do this? I said all right.
Let's
go
do it.
I never said no ever.
No. So, but on some occasions, there's things that you can probably say, you know what?
Hindsight is a great...
Maybe no, I should have said.
But you're naturally funny, so you if you try to be funny...
I didn't need to do that shit. I didn't need to do that shit, you know.
Because your just personality been you. Was there.
That's right. But my role was totally different to what I had with the footy show.
Right. Mm.
My role was a part-time sort of host. Mate, I'm the sidekick. I'm not Sam. I can't do what Sam does.
No,
and you had and Piggy was a fantastic host.
Very, very good.
He never had an auto cue. He made it up. He was
very
just a very good
very
operator.
Good
and then they had me as a, and I that's not me. I'm the other bloke on the panel where I jump in and jump out, and you don't hear from me for 5 or 6 minutes. And
but
then
that was me. They used to call me the co-host of the footy show. Eddie hosted the show. I was you. I was you. It's next to Eddie, like you. You next to me.
You're a star at it, and I should have been on that panel, which I was, Sam, in the first show. Me, Timmy Watson, and the pig, Dunstall, Piggy, the first show.
Yeah.
And we had no idea what we were doing.
No.
Did we? We had no idea, and then the show just was a juggernaut. It was a juggernaut.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
It was just natural, though. It just naturally, whatever came out of your mind. There was no scripting or there was
it's always the best way, isn't it?
It is.
Yep. And we could say what we wanted to say back then, and now you can imagine, Sam, some of that stuff back in 97, 98. You wouldn't be able to do it. You can't do that now. You can't
talk about he does a podcast.
that's why I do this. And this is why
you let her do stuff on this.
Well,
I've heard
what say what you like.
What
mate.
We've done already.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, we do that. But I didn't get put on. Yeah. Well, people say, oh, I left the footy show. Well, I got sacked off the footy show. If it doesn't matter how you top and tail it, you can say, oh yes, they didn't renew my contract, or they said I got sacked off the footy show in the end because. I couldn't do what I used to do, and there was no point doing it because what I did is not acceptable on television these days. Whether it's just having an opinion about trans footballers, men who pretend they're women play football, which is ridiculous. I don't know why anyone allows it, but you couldn't say that on the television. You can't say it today. Mm. We can say it here because it's my opinion, and there's nothing wrong with saying that. But if you offend, and the bottom line of all the commercial stations is the sponsors, and if the sponsors are that woke, if you know what woke means, the awakening, woke is the awakening of society, which is bullshit. If the woke people say, oh no, that we can't have offend trans people, we're not offending trans people, you can be whatever you like, but if you're a man, please don't be arrogant enough to say you should be able to play football or sport against women, biological women. Which is gets us on to the next thing that's a good segue, this. The National Science Foundation. And so this is what we do on the show, Dave. I find things that are points of interest to me, and if you have something you want to say about the condition of the roads or the bloody climate change or people that piss you off.
And you know what, Sam? Just going back a bit. I remember you saying to me, in the media, Dougie, you only got a job until you're sacked.
That's right.
That's what you said to me. And I remember that clearly. Only got a job until you're sacked.
We're only filling in time until we get sacked.
Till we get sacked.
And that's it. And no matter how you say that you're not working for a station or a company anymore, you are sacked. And you can say, I'm retiring. And if you retire on your own volition.
Not many do, Sam, do they?
Not many.
Most get the kick.
Someone will eventually come to you and say, now you've been here a while, what do you think? Do you want to go on? And that sort of subtle way of saying, I think you probably should stop. Anyhow, wouldn't have it any other way. So I was just saying, the National Science Foundation, have a listen to this.
Yes, Sam. Yep.
No, hello, Shelley. Doug was just looking at one of the people
Co-workers.
Who work out of the building going up the stairs.
Yep.
Slight distraction there,
No, it happened to be a woman. This is interesting that is a woman, because you would think that's a woman. I know that's a woman, but here, this is what the National Science Foundation, they are now having biology classes teaching those that go to the classes that there is more than one gender. This is where the world's headed.
Well, there's two.
No.
There is more than one.
Is there?
There's male and female.
Correct. They are now teaching that there's more than one gender. So you can be a trans, you can be bisexual. There's 78 genders, they reckon, if you want to actually get it down. But the National Science Foundation, who are set up to actually tell you the truth about biology, say that they're contradicting the very reason they were formed. There's only two genders in this world, and that is male and female. And it doesn't matter what you signal as or your friends signal as. We accept whatever anyone wants to say they are, but there's only two genders. You only either have... If you're a woman, if you're a female, Doug, you have two X chromosomes. And if you're a man, you have an XY chromosome. And that's it.
Trust
and
the science.
All the bullshit that people carry on about. And they're now teaching that there's more than two genders. That's where the world's headed.
Well, imagine being your kids. Imagine being a young kid at school these days. Mm. The stuff that goes on at schools now.
What do you see?
They teach this at schools.
It's a load of absolute bull. Mate, I watch Maths, Married at First Sight. I'm a big fan of it.
Maths?
Maths.
Is it Married at First Sight?
Oh, M-A-F-S.
Yes.
An acronym.
I watch that because Raylene tells me to watch it, Sam. And I watched last night. And I hadn't been watching it because I've been switching it over to Australian Idol. I'm not a big fan of Kyle Sandilands, by the way, but anyway, he's a bit of a cockhead, but you might be a mate of him.
Successful cockhead.
Very successful at what he does.
Successful.
He comes across that way, and he plays the role beautifully.
Yeah. Anyone else but like that? Go ahead.
Anyway, two blokes got married on it, last night.
But Doug.
Yeah, but that's not for me. I don't want to be watching that. Because I'm old school. I'm old fashioned.
So that's right, Doug.
But I'm not.
That is fine.
I'm not saying it's no good.
It's okay. No, it's different. It doesn't appeal to me watching two blokes. But that's fine. But that is fine if two men or two women. Doug.
The Bible says that you marry a woman.
The Bible.
I've read the Bible.
Amen. Hallelujah.
No, the Bible says, Sam. I've read the Bible.
If you don't want to read the whole Bible, I can tell you how it works at the end. The devil did it. Now, listen, Doug.
Hang on, that's spoiler alert.
Doug, listen to me.
The devil did it. Is that what you said there?
The devil did it. Just go to the back page and you'll find that the devil did it. You don't have to read the Bible.
All right, go on, Sam.
So I'm old school, but I have no problem with men marrying men or women pretending they're men. I have no problem with that. But please don't insult the intelligence of people who live on this planet by saying that there are more than two genders. You are a male or a female, and that is it. And that I will accept you for whatever you will call you by. We can go on.
I mean, this is from the same people who are all like, trust the science during the pandemic, and then yet at the same time, they're basically denying obvious scientific fact, which is X, Y and XX chromosomes.
Sam, I'll ask you this question. How would you feel? Now, I'm being serious here.
I know. I'm
not having a go at this person.
No.
Danny Lately, now she or he?
Danielle. Danielle.
Danielle.
Don't call her Danny.
It's not Danny.
Oh, it is Danny. It is Danielle. Yeah, no, he was Dean. That's right. Danielle. Yep.
Danielle. It went for the Bulldogs coaching job, women's team.
Mm.
And if he or she's credentials wasn't...
She.
Sorry?
She.
She.
Yeah.
If she's... If she's credentials wasn't as good as anyone else who applied for that job, I'm on another planet. I'm on another planet. Premiership player for North for the Kangaroos, coached the Kangaroos senior level, and if her credentials wasn't as good as the one who got the job, the girl or whoever, I don't know, got the job, it's a joke. She should have got the job at the Bulldogs, Sam, Danny Lately. She
Women's team.
The women's team.
Yes.
She should have got the job.
Yeah. Mm. She was overlooked in Perth as well, wasn't she?
Correct.
Perth and, as well.
Daisy,
coming here, yeah.
Daisy Pierce got it. So anyway,
yeah, that's right. So Danielle would have the qualifications, no matter what she signals as or what she changed herself to be. She has the credentials behind her because she did coach at a senior level and knows more about it in her fingers than anyone would have in their body, I'd reckon.
And a premiership player. So why wouldn't my club give her the gig?
I mean, have you asked the question?
No, I haven't. I don't get down to the club as much as I'd like to these days. But anyway, that's another thing.
Well,
and,
speaking of how ridiculous this is, I was speaking to a man on the weekend who said his son had won a maths competition. A maths competition, like mathematics. He was a star at numbers. And the school wrote him a citation, a letter, wrote him and said, we would like to just indicate that they have exceeded at the highest level and they should be very, very happy with themselves. And he showed the letter to his father. This is true. And his father said, they are happy. Was the two people in the competition? He said, no, they call me they because they don't want to identify me as a man or a woman in deference to the other students, so they call me they. He said, they have excelled beyond all expectations and have become the leader of the class at the mathematics competition or whatever. And he showed it to his father and his father said, oh, so the two of you won, did they? And he said, no, just one, but they call me they.
What the hell is that about, Sam?
Call him he. And I said, is your son, is he transgendering? He said, no, he's a full-blooded heterosexual male, but they call him they. Now, so you talk about not being on the footy show. If you railed up against that, have I said any of what I've said here today and maybe what you've said here today?
We've said nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm. No, we've just been logical, but logic is now not
forbidden,
not accepted. Intelligent people, Doug, are being silenced so that stupid people won't be noticed. That's what's happening in society. And it goes on and on and on, and that's why we love doing this, because we're not deliberately abusive or antagonistic to people, but it is so cringeworthy to think that we don't know who they insult your intelligence by blowing all this bullshit.
So they're naming people. They're naming people who don't even identify as trans. They now, is that what's going on? It doesn't surprise me.
That's what they did to this.
Because you talked about the genders. There's male and female biologically, and that's science. But then there's a myriad of mental illnesses, as I'm sure we all know. 100%. You know what I mean?
Dick, so 100%,
maybe,
Dick.
Maybe that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with 72 levels of mental illness and two genders. And that, sure, some people are mentally ill.
We had 2 or 3 years of hell here in Victoria. We had 2 or 3 years of hell and mental health affecting kids to adults with this COVID stuff. And we had people in Parliament running it who were absolute fruitcakes.
Yeah, sure. Look, it's not this absolute, is new.
And they're dictating us, treating us as mugs that we don't know. That we can see, we know what's going on. That's some of the stuff that the Andrews government brought out was just bullshit. Locking down playgrounds. Give me a break, please.
He's made some sense.
Hey?
No, it made some sense.
We had one case of COVID, and they locked Victoria down. Now we have 50 people dying of it now. Right now, there's no one, get the jab. You've got to get the jab. Get the jab. Well, how about sticking the jab up your clacker?
100%. 100%.
Brett Sutton comes out and he gets an OAM for locking down a playground. What a joke.
You sound like a politician, mate.
Seriously, but how could he get a... He started to think he was Mick Jagger out of the Rolling Stones. He started to work the camera.
Well Dick, Dick said that he sounds like a politician. Well, you were going to be a politician, Doug.
Really? Tell us about that.
No, you were.
Well, I still...
Just before you tell us about that, we were on about this... this is about the quota system as opposed to the meritocracy. That means getting a job on your merits, like Danielle Laidley should have got the job on
meritocracy.
Her merits. But it's a quota system now. So if you fit into a certain race or dynamic or ethnic diversity. So you might know this, Doug, when Queensland had 4 cases of COVID and... no one had any more. You could count on the fingers of one hand how many cases. Victoria had 800 cases because they employed an indigenous
security
to oversee the quarantine
at the hotel in the city.
Capable.
Were they indigenous or were they another race?
Might have been another race.
Yeah, I think...
From New South Wales, Sam, and they were employed...
Indian.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
I don't think that's right.
They were employed by our government, Sam, who didn't know who employed them. That's when they were asked about who employed them, they said, I don't remember.
I think the company that ran it was indigenous. I think that's right, and I'll unreservedly apologise if that's not right. But this is a government. This is the state government under Andrews was the most corrupt, dishonest, and disgraceful government. The government was in the history of the planet. To a third world country, go to anywhere, no one ran a country into the ground, state into the ground.
So very quick one. Who got a job the other day for $500,000? He was the COVID Reema?
Jeremy Weinmar.
Was there a process? Was there some other people who applied for the gig? Hey, that's a job for the boys, surely.
No, that wasn't. No one else applied for it. We read out plenty of those things. I read out a thing about the National Basketball League about that they wanted an equity and equity and diversity manager, and you read it out and it was just purely just an advertisement for it wasn't an all embracing ad for anyone to apply. You just had to be Indigenous, which is so we're not having we're just saying.
So I've got a question here for Doug, without notice. Right. Just think back to 2023. Did you get struck by lightning? And if you did it, you got any problems from that? Or
no, I did.
Or did it improve things?
I got hit by lightning. I was at work. I was in Yarraville working at an old James Hardy site just behind the cemetery. It wasn't far to go, by the way. Beyond the old cemetery in Geelong Road. I was working on the gate as a road traffic job, Sam, I still do.
Yep.
And I got hit by lightning. I was in the box when it came and hit me in the chest. I actually blacked out.
Yep.
And I had an out-of-body experience. You ever had that, Sam? You ever had an out-of-body...
What was that like?
Well, I saw myself floating, and I thought, "What the? Where am I going here?" And I was
going up.
I actually went up.
Up, you're going up.
There you go. That's good news.
Up to the maker.
I was on the way to the Pearly Gates.
Yeah.
And when I got there, the great man was waiting for me.
Was he?
Teddy Whitten.
Oh, come on,
Doug. EJ said, "Hey, Knackers." He said, "Knackers, what are you doing here?" I said, "EJ, I got hit by, I've been hit by lightning."
Yeah,
and as I said that, the great late Lou Richards put his head over the fence. Mm. And he said, "EJ, send him back, EJ. Send Dougie back." EJ said, "Why is that?" Louis said, "We can't shoot him. We can't root him. We can't electrocute him. Send him back." So I went back to my body. And here I am to tell a story. It's amazing.
I'm glad I asked
the
question.
So wow. A lot of the lads from...
Are we still on air, Sam? No. Yeah,
a lot of the lads from Footscray and Braybrook. You went up to the Pearly Gates, but they weren't there. They'd been stolen.
The gates were gone.
Yeah, the gates were gone. All the
not so pearly.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you liked that, Sammy. I thought you enjoyed that.
I did. You had me in there.
Another one for the sporty. Sporty nights. And anyway,
that's how you do a lot of that.
No, I've cut back to six a week. Yeah.
I know. Now I've been to your you nights. That, yeah. You're very good at
thank you.
Raconteuring, Doug. Raconteuring. Yep. You are very, very good at that. Which, incidentally, Terry Lindblom signs me up. Now, Terry Lindblom listens to this, and he corrected me. This is a shout-out to Terry Lindblom. We mentioned last week that I shouted at a bloke who parked in my car space out here, and his name was Paul Anderson. And I said, Paul Anderson won the shot put in the 1956 Olympics. And Terry rang me up a couple of days later, and he said, "I was listening to the podcast. Paul Anderson didn't win the shot put, he won the weightlifting." And he is absolutely correct. Parry O'Brien won the shot put in 1956 at the Olympics here in Melbourne. And Terry said it was Paul Anderson who won the weightlifting. I just thought I'd mention that because I said to Terry, "I will correct that and I'll give you credit for that," having shouted at Paul Anderson out here for parking in my spot. Mm. But he listens, and he's a very good man, Paul Anderson, but he's not the weightlifter who won the gold in Melbourne.
How is Terry going, Sam? These
Sam,
days? Is,
yeah, no, I'm Sam.
Is that your Sam?
Yeah.
How's Terry?
He's going well.
He's a good man, Terry. I love Terry.
Yes, he's a very good man.
He looks after me all the time.
Yes, he looks after me, gets me gigs, and then he finds they get cancelled. So he says, "Now that gig's not on anymore." I said, "What, they're not happy I'm coming?" He said, "No, they've kicked up that you're coming." And I said, "All right, well." So I've got a lot of engagements that Terry has cancelled, but that's the way it is. That's not his fault necessarily. Necessarily. Now what we do, Doug, is we figure that you're a good example of this. You've got an attention span of about 3/4 of an hour. So what we'll do is we have Ben Fordham. Do you know Dr. Ben Fordham from Sydney? Do you know who he is?
He's on 3GB. 2GB.
3 is the Victorian
what is he
broadband
on? 3JB
station, 3, and 2 is in Sydney.
What's he on?
And 5 is in Adelaide and 6 is in Adelaide. Perth.
But what's he on? 2JB?
No, he took a...
what is he on, Sam?
He took over. Ivan, what's he on?
2GB.
2GB. He took over there from John Laws, did he? Or he took over from...
He took over from...
Alan Jones.
Yeah.
Then Alan. Yeah, yep. Lovely man, Alan.
He's good.
What's that?
He's a lovely man, Alan.
Yes, and he is. And he's been in a spot of bother too. I think he... Hasn't he? Well, he has. This is well documented. He's a very, very good broadcaster, but I think he's. I'm not sure.
Sammy was coach of the Australian
rugby
team.
He was indeed the Wallabies.
Yes.
Wallabies. Well, did he go wallop bang there with the Wallabies? Wow! Did they all just? Not a lot of them went into the showers all at once. Well, they did. They formed a flying wedge and they went into the showers and they communally bathed and then they all came out and got dressed and went home in the bus. So Tanobi's a very good man. A very good man. Very good man he is. Now, Doug.
Yeah, go on, mate.
So what we do
yeah,
is...
Go on, mate.
Dr. Ben Fordham. We speak.
Why do you call him Doctor for Sam?
Glad you asked, Doug.
I don't think he's a doctor, by the way.
No, well, we've named him a doctor because the man who used to sit in that chair was Don Scott, who incidentally is a very good man. I've plenty of people I give a bagging to, but Don is a very good man. He's still a friend of mine, although I haven't spoken to him since the day I told him to fuck off. But I didn't tell him to fuck off. He didn't respond to that. He was already leaving that chair. And on the way out, I said, all right, well, then fuck off. So, because he did stuff that was annoying. And I haven't spoken to him since. Mm. But I've texted him a few times, but Don is an insular, secluded, severe clinical man, and he lives down the coast and tampers around with his horses down there and rides them. I don't know what he does to the horses, but he's a landscaper. And he's, I'm telling
well,
you...
Bernie Quinlan works for him, Sam.
I'm not sure. I think right. Bernie's had enough of Don too.
Okay.
But Tony right. Jewell, I think, has left the employ. But I'm telling you this, Don is a very good man. And I like him. So that I just want that on the record.
Terrific player, Sam. Great competitor, wasn't he?
Great competitor. So he great used to competitor. Sit at that...
You would have had many battles with him over the
many,
years.
Many, many.
On the ground, crunching into each other.
And off the ground. And that's why he's not on the podcast.
Right.
And as I was just saying, he used to sit at that thing there where you are. Why did I say...
MD.
What?
Managing Don.
Oh, yes. So when he left, Dr. Ben Fordham, who comes on, and we're very grateful he comes on because he's a star, Ben. He's the Neil Mitchell, but... of Sydney, and he goes Sydney. All around. He's syndicated all over the joint, and he and he's married to Jody, and he
married to who?
He Jody,
right?
And he Jody, he right. said, "I'll get Don back on the. I'll psychoanalyze Don, and I gave. So we called him Doctor. I call him Doctor, and everyone calls him Doctor in Sydney now. Dr. Ben Fordham, MD, managing Don." MD is a medical term, MD, medical doctor.
Medical doctor.
Medical doctor. Because you can be a doctor of music, Don. Doug. You can be a doctor of music, Doug.
Doug.
Yeah.
Don.
So, but so you say he's a medical doctor, not a musical doctor, although MD could be musical doctor. So I call him Dr. Ben Fordham, MD. So he comes on, he's coming on in half an hour or so, which means nothing to the podcast because this gets downloaded in the afternoon. So we're having it's a long-winded way of saying we're having a break. And then we come back and we've got a lot of other topics. And if you want to bring something up, or Dick from Muff does, or Ivan does, or Sue
politics,
Stanley.
Sue.
And then we read out the comments that people who listen to this podcast put on the social media. We read them out and then we give some shout-outs. So that's it for the minute. And we're just going to play this music which shows this is the end of the segment.